2005 college training in Montreal, Canada, with Brother Titus Chu. David, the man after God's heart. Message 5.
So let's come to message 4. The crucial factor for God to gain a man who is after God's own heart. As I told you yesterday, right? For this very God to gain the person, there is a process. And these 5 points are only the initial stage. In other words, tomorrow morning we'll tell you how has to go through a process to be perfected, to mature. Then, after tomorrow, we will tell you how he operates by learning in his maturity. Even if he is mature, he's still very young. Can the air condition, or the air condition is gone or what? It could be, right? Because it is pretty hot. I can see you. I have no problem because I'm a speaker. You have problem because you're going to sleep. The speaker always have energy. It's those who listen feel tired. Well, are you able to, or it's gone? If it's gone, you better open all the doors. Okay. Now, as I told you, these are the initial stage. In other words, this is more like a young man. Every young people got to learn these 5 things. Number 1, I'm chosen by God. God choose him, right? God choose him because God knows how to gain this person. You know, brother, one brother testified this morning, I think, he said, how do you know you are chosen? You are saved. That proves you are chosen. And Paul has a stronger statement that even in my mother's womb, I was separated unto the Lord himself. Amen. You know, brother, that should be our realization. That you know how high we are? We're so different with every other one who is not as us. We were chosen by God, not only chosen just as, okay, this will be our future. Rather, God chose us with a realization he is going to gain us. Amen. To be chosen doesn't mean you are making it. Just like you got admitted in the university. Now, 2 things could happen, right? Or 3 things. One, you got admitted to university, you go to university, you study, you fulfill the status. And the second one is, you just didn't go. I got selected to the university, but I don't want to go there. So I'm chosen, but I reject it. I give up such right. Thirdly is, I get in, but I never studied. Therefore, I flunked. I never graduate. You know, brother, to be chosen is one thing. To fulfill that very selection is another thing. We're chosen. Because we're chosen, therefore, brother, you know that we have to be careful. We should say, Lord, I'm here to answer you, number 1. Number 2, Lord, I like to mean business. Okay. Number 3, Lord, I want to be faithful to your selection. Okay, let's come. Let's read these verses. This 1 Samuel chapter 16, right? 1 Samuel chapter 16. These stories are very interesting. I tell you this, when you come to 2 Samuel, it'd be so hard, most likely you don't understand. So I become very tired because I don't know what to do with this message, these riches, because it's too profound for you. Okay, chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, right? The Bethlehemites. Is that the way you pronounce it? Bethlehemites, right? For I have provided me a king among his sons. You go to Bethlehem, right? Among those guys, you go to a family, Jesse's family. And among the sons, there's one I choose. Bethlehemites. Bethlehem means what? The house of bread. In other words, spiritually speaking, you can see that. Very much like a second generation. That you grow up with a lot of riches. But the problem is, most of you are the first son to the seventh, and very few want to become number eight. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So let's go out. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. So it's interesting. Saul is afraid of him. He's afraid of Saul. And the Lord says, take a heifer with thee and so forth, whatever. And call Jesse to sacrifice, I will show, whatever. Then verse 4, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled as he's coming. It's interesting, right? They should be rejoiced because he's coming. So you know that they got to be lousy elders. Right? If the elders are good, do they have to tremble? Right? Here comes the judge or the priest. Right? Here comes the prophet. Now, the elders should be so happy, welcome him and tell him, can we have a conference? So good you are here. Can we invite more people to come to your presence, to sit under your feet, to receive some blessing? No. The elders tremble. This on one hand. On the other hand, you can see Samuel was pretty high. Do you get my point? Samuel at that time even behaved high now. So the elders there see him and tremble, right? What is that verse? Tremble is coming and said, comest thou peaceably? Are we in trouble? You come check us out. Do you get my point? Come you peaceful. And he said, peaceably, I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. I like it. Do you know, brother? When you are choosing, are you chosen? When you are chosen, you are called to, to the doctor degree. Let me read again. Verse 5 at the end. And they sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to Harvard University. That's what you think, right? And called them to good profession. And call them to become something special. No, he tell them, come on, get rid of yourself. Come to the sacrifice. Brother, do you like to be chosen by God? If you like, get ready for your life. Your life is going to be finished. Sister, the way you look at me is funny. Do you understand what I say? You understand, huh? Where are you from? Toronto? Sister, are you ready to die for the Lord? Sister, are you ready to die for the Lord? Thank you. The way she nods her head is very genuine. Thank you. I'm encouraged. I'm happy, actually. You know that? Lord desire you to die. He selected. I mean, just selected, right? You just anoint, that's it. He called them, come to sacrifice, and came to pass when they were come, and he looked on Eliab, right? I don't know how to pronounce it, whatever that is, and said, surely the Lord surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. I mean, he's a handsome man. But what, huh? On the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Brother, sometimes I tell you, give yourself to the Lord and be a sacrifice. And you say, oh Lord Jesus, I'm so poor. Brother, do you realize most of offerings are rejected? You should pray, Lord, please, please, have mercy. Don't reject me. If in this room you should reject 170, I'm the 171, please keep me and let others go home. I like to be the sacrifice because I am chosen. Do you get my point or not? The Lord told Samuel, no, doesn't work, huh? For the Lord not sees not as man sees. For man look on the outward appearance. Where are you from? Taiwan University. Think about it. I'm really from Taiwan University. Every time I talk about it, I'm proud of it. Until they began to select president among the professors, I know that it's over. That university is over. But anyway, it's so bad. Taiwan don't do anything right anymore. Then he said, don't look on the outward appearance. Then what? But the Lord look on the heart. Sister, do you have a heart for the Lord? Do you? Yeah, well, that's good. The Lord look on the heart. The sister asked a question, Titus, look like you don't quite care about his sisters. No, I do. I do. Actually, let me tell you, sisters, unless the sisters are healthy, the brothers have no hope. Do you know who is head of household? Wife. whether it's in this way or in that way, they control. But anyway, and then Jesse called made him pass before Samuel, and says, neither has the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made another one, and says, neither this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. Think about it. We think, oh Lord, I have no more future. I love you. I'm finished. I tell you, you should feel very glorious. Hallelujah, I'm finished. Amen. Oh, you stupid doctors from doctor from Harvard. That's the one. You stupid. And you stupid doctor from Case. Hallelujah. I am chosen by God. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? Yes. There's nothing to be grave about. So all seven is no, not them. So Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this. Then Samuel said unto Jesse, and here are here all thy children. Eventually, even Samuel got confused. Lord, you told me to come to this house. And you told me in this household there should be one chosen by you. How come one after another? I think everyone is qualified. And you denied everyone. Now, I tell you, don't think this story is easy. I'm afraid you go there, Lord will not speak a word to you. You will choose a pig, a dog, whatever, to be the anointed. Do you get my point or not? He's very sharp. Samuel is very sharp. But he's very confused. So eventually he has a question, Well, I ask you, bring all your sons. So all your sons are here. Is there another one or not? Otherwise, something wrong with me and the Lord. Do you get my point or not? Oh, we like to see a man either perfect or worse nothing. Do you know that? Lord neither wants a man to be perfect, nor want a man worth nothing. When Samuel go to the city, the elders afraid. I tell you, the elders are terrible. I don't think Samuel's good either. I mean, even the elders terrible. You go to the city, makes them happy. Why should they be so afraid of you? Do you get my sometime? I know young brothers say this. Titus, we're afraid of you. I always get puzzled. How lovely I am. Are you afraid of what? My only problem is my belly is too big. That's about it. So why are you afraid of me? Right? But brother, let me say this. We either say, oh, he's such a spiritual man. Oh, I say, oh, he's nothing. No. Samuel does has a lot of problems, even this visit. But there's so much you have to appreciate how sharp he is before the Lord. Then how he must be accountable before the Lord. For instance, he takes seven of them, right? And Jesse says, these are my sons. And he says, well, God has told me that one of the sons. So he would ask, he would consider and look around. Well, maybe my first exam is over. It's wrong. Let's do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do you get my point? No. Okay. Let's do it again. Do it again. Eventually, you get so tired. It's old, right? You see. Well, wherever my finger points, that's the one. Do you get my point or not? He's very sober, very sharp before the Lord. He said. So he asked the question: Are they all their children? And he said, oh, there remains yet the youngest. There is one. And behold, he keeps the sheep. So you know how we know, how we treasure him. Well, remember that. That could be a custom that all the younger ones keep the sheep. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, and we will not sit down till he comes hither. This is hard to understand. You go to the wilderness to find David, bring him back. It got to be 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And Samuel's old man, he stood there all the time looking at everybody. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to sit down. I'm just stand here and fellowship with you until he came. It's really something, huh? Do you appreciate Samuel? Could you know how to read the Bible? Don't read the Bible, what's going on. Read the Bible into its affection. And tell the Lord, Lord, I like to stand up. I will not sit down until my brother go to mountaintop or go to, what's the thing you call it? Gospel preaching thing? Odyssey. Until my friends go to Odyssey. Before he goes to Odyssey, I will not sit down. Amen. Now you know. You mean business. Do you get my? You prayed a lot. Lord Jesus, take care of her. Amen. Ah, here's a hamburger, McDonald's. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, amen. French fry tastes so good. Amen. Lord Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, apple pie. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, that's why your answer doesn't mean much. Look how sober Samuel was on this whole thing. I will not sit down. We will not sit down till he comes. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. What does ruddy mean? Huh? Yeah, ruddy. Huh? Ruddy. What does that mean? Oh.
He hurried to get back.
Do you want to stand up? Do you want to stand up? Please stand up. Let everybody look at you. Look at his face. That's ruddy. Thank you. Isn't it? Isn't it shining? You know? Reddish. But anyway. And a weather of a beautiful countenance. With weather, how do you, is that way you pronounce it? Of a beautiful countenance. You know, he's really a handsome man, huh? But the only thing is he didn't see how high he is. Maybe he's just a normal height. With a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. In other words, people look at him, oh, what a handsome young man. Well, but you have to realize, if it's that good, why should he go to be a shepherd? Do you get my point? Then, let me see, good to look at. And the Lord said, arise! Well, he never sat down. Why should he arise? Huh? He never sat down. So that you find one problem in the Bible now. Right? Well, he said, we will not sit down. And he was standing there looking at everybody. Right? So never sit down. Then the Lord says, what? Where is that? And the Lord said, arise! So arise doesn't mean stand up, right? It means now take action. In other words, brother, arise means what? Be geared. Be ready, right? There's something. There's a commitment from the Lord for you to carry it out.
Amen.
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 Arise. Amen. Well, that's good. Hallelujah. Arise. Anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord come upon David from that day forward. In other words, it's not just once. He has a Spirit with him all the time. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, go back to his hometown. Well, he was this chosen. In other words, very clear. Are you chosen? Very clear. You are chosen. Do you get my point or not? I wrote a hymn. So bad. All my hymns are in Chinese. And my hymns are like poetry, so it's very hard to translate. It's not hymns of truth. As in that hymn I wrote, you know, how I desire I will be a burnt offering. I know in my mother's womb you have separated me unto you. That should be your realization. Don't say, that belonged to Paul. No. Every one of us should realization we are chosen before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Everything before, everything existence, God already chosen us. Even mark us out for us to satisfy him.
Amen.
Then secondly, he was trained by being a shepherd. This may be the source for him to write Psalm 23, and may have become the administrative principle to shepherd the Israelites. So you see, when he ruled the country, he takes the principle of shepherding. Do you get my point? It's very different with many kings because he was a shepherd. You know, to be a shepherd, maybe I just read the portion here. And this verse I read already, right? Maybe I give you a story like this. I never know what is shepherd. And I always want to be, or want to know. Until I was in Inner Mongolia, in mainland China, I talk with my host. I say, can you bring me to see the grass? You know, supposedly in that area you have grass. They are supposed to grow real high. But that year it's dry, so the grass didn't grow. And with a lot of huangchong, how do you say that? Locusts, with a lot of locusts. He said, oh, you shouldn't go, because you go, the locusts jump all over you. Eventually I said, well, I still like to go, because even though I can't see the real grass, I can see locusts. So I went. But I tell you, it's interesting. They arrange very well. I went there. They take me to a home of local people. So they treat me the milk of the horse and give me the cheese, all kind of their own food. It's a treat. But when we walk outside, I see a man shepherding hundreds of sheep. That's the first time I see a shepherd. So I began standing there watching. For a long time, actually, the brother, our patients are gone. Why you don't move? Why you watch? Because I want to find out exactly what he does. He got a shepherd, which is a dog. You know there's a kind of dog called a shepherd, right?
Sheepdog.
Okay, he got a sheepdog. The sheepdog running around, make sure shepherd in the right place. He actually is behind it or before it. Very restful, you know. They would stay in the place for about 20, 30 minutes or 30, 40 minutes. Then he would stand up, begin to move. Then all the flock follow him and move to another pasture. You know what I mean? Where you can have more grass to eat. There's a lot of locusts jumping all over you. But, you know, brother, when there's not moving, he was sitting there. I began to understand a little bit of why David is such a big person. Because they are not in the room, do the lab work, to write a thesis. They look at the universe, the globe. They look at the sky. You know what I mean? In front of them, their eyesight is wide open. You know what I mean? There's nothing. Fields, miles of grass. So they are grand. I can understand why, you know, he's good at this, how do you call that thing? You know, the Goliath, that little stuff. You know, I can understand why. Because at that time, there got to be a lot of wild animals. Lion is one. Bear is another one. It's hard. You see, today you go to Israel, you will see no lion, no bear, no tiger, nothing. Possible, no wolf. But at that time, I believe there's all kind of animals. Some you have to fight, like lion. Some you have to hit them. That really works. When the wolf is coming, you know, he door, you know, the wolf got hit, then wolf run away. So he's practicing that all the time to protect the sheep. And then he also realized, okay, when I am committed with the sheep, my life is joined to them. Therefore, when the lion so forth came and catch any, he will be strong to defend. So you know, brothers, eventually wrote that psalm. Don't you believe it's related to this? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You all know how to memorize this kind of psalm because they are so sensational. They're just like you're saying, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I dare not despise it. But I always feel it got to be something more. Until what? You know, you set the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you get my point? So her, he was shepherding. He was dealing with all kind of enemies. And these enemies are the animals. Do you get my point? All kind of animal try to come to snatch. Actually, he doesn't shepherd many sheep, just a few. That few sheep he shepherds. Animals trying to come in and is strong. So eventually he has a realization. If you understand Psalm 23, you realize that become the principle of his ruling. When animal come, when Philistine come, when the tribes come, he stands firm. He realizes these are feasts for us to be before the Lord. You know, brother, he went through a good training. Now let me just say a word to you. How can you be trained? How can you be trained? Brother, be very realistic to the little thing you may have in your hand. You know, we like to do things, and we like to do things we like. Is that English? We like to do things. We like to not doing it. Seems to us, it's just all, whatever. Brother, remember that, huh? A person like that can never be a good, committed person. When I was very young, I began to love the Lord. The first thing they told me is, teach children. You know, I know my Old Testament quite well. You know why? Because basically, I teach the children, you know, for how many years? For around 10 years. There are short, for instance, I went to military 4 months, then I don't. Once I came back, I joined in again. Do you get my point? Then I was serving in a small church for a few months, 2 months actually, 2-3 months. In that 2-3 months, I'm not with children. You know, when I was a high schooler, I was with children. When I was in the military as a lieutenant, I was with children. Then when I become a college kid, I graduated, the day of my graduation, I was still with children. Do you realize? The children give me good growth. I have a way to work with them. They like me. Most of my kids like me. And I like them too. You know, brother, it's a small thing. Lord's Day morning, spend some time with children. And every Lord's Day morning, over there, the children meeting and the church meeting are two different times. So we go to children meeting. After we serve children, we come to the church meeting, you know, different time. Every Lord's Day morning, I was with children for close to 10 years, from age 17 to the age 27. How about that? I'm very happy about it. If whosoever can serve children meeting faithfully for 10 years, you know Bible very well. Because you have to. You have to. You have to read Genesis. You have to read Exodus. You can bypass Leviticus because the kids have no idea what's going on. But at least you can say something about Numbers and something in Deuteronomy. Then you have to talk about Judges. Then you have to talk about Samuel, 1st, 2nd Samuel. You repeat these stories. You grow up with them. Do you get my point or not? You know, brother, that's a small thing. For instance, I give you another illustration. I'm saved, so I need to preach gospel. Isn't that a very simple thing? You know, brother, then I was very sober about gospel preaching. When I first got saved, I preached gospel to my schoolmates. So in my class, we have 7 Christians. 5 of the 7, one is me, and there's another brother. 5 of the 7 were saved by my gospel preaching in my same class. Then I told them I don't want to go to meeting anymore, and they all says we all will not go anymore, so we all dropped the church life together. Then, a year later, I came back to the church life. That's where I began to serve children meeting. You know, that's in 1954. In 1954, September, I began to be revived. These 7 didn't come back. Do you get my point or not? I was meeting with them. We were together. When I said, I don't want to go anymore, they said, neither do us. So we all left the church life. I came back. I tell them to come back. They say no. I miss it. But I began to preach gospel. Brother, you know, a brother and I too began to preach gospel. In 4 months, 60 baptized by way two in one campus. In one high school campus, way two preached gospel all the time. 60 baptized. And one day, we have a habit of kneel down in the playground. Pray to the Lord. Save the school. That was interesting. Because every time you kneel down, pray to the Lord, all the kids are running you know. So row after row after row, we were the Lord Jesus. These are sinners. They need to be saved. You must save them. And over there, what you two are doing. So eventually, we get people saved. 2 pray, then 4 pray, then 8 pray, then 12 pray. Do you get my point? More brother come in and pray for the campus. Hundreds got saved. 60 baptized. You know, brother, one day, one brother, we say, come and pray. And he said, no, I'm too embarrassed. I said, no, come and pray. And no, I'm too embarrassed. So we go to pray. And when we kneel down, it began to shower rain. So we all were kneel in the mud. I pray, Lord Jesus. And he was hiding under the roof. He looked at us. If he can't help anymore, he ran over and jumped himself right into the mud and began to, Lord Jesus, save the campus. Do you like it? Small thing. Today you consider this very small. At that time I told the Lord, Lord, I want to read the Bible. I'm a student. I'm a senior. I have college examination. I want to read 6 chapters a day. Don't give me any excuses. I prayed. So tomorrow is examination. I read Psalms. Do you get my point or not? I save a portion. I was bright enough or wise enough. I save a portion that's short for the examination time. So when examination come, I'll turn to this. I still read 6 chapters. So I still tell the Lord I read 6 chapters. But only 5 minutes, you finish 6 chapters. But brother, you did it. Do you get my point? You saved Psalm 119 after the test. you get my point? You read the Bible every day. Brother, these are good trainings. You think there's not much? No. A lot would happen just if you learn how to exercise or how to live a life in this way. Then thirdly, he was anointed by the priest, prophet, and judge, by Samuel, right? You know, his anointing was different with Saul's. Not by a veil filled with oil. In other words, God's desire for Samuel is more like, I want you to be a good vessel. So a veil. Is that the way you read it? Vial, okay, vial filled with oil. But with what? Horn filled with oil. God's desire for David is get ready to fight for my kingdom. Amen. Do you see the difference or not? Even anointing is different. Then secondly, Samuel took a vial of oil, put upon Saul's head, right? And kissed him and said, "Is it not because of the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" Said a lot to encourage him. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren. It's another one. Concerning David, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from the day forward. Nothing. He didn't say a word. He didn't say, "You are the captain of the inheritance." He didn't say, "You will be the king." He was more focused on, "You must have a spiritual reality." Let me see in this way. Christian life go like this. There is a time you realize you were chosen. It could be the time of your regeneration. It could be a time that you begin to touch the Lord. Do you get my point? Then it does require a number of years of faithfulness. But no matter how long that is, the Lord is going to bring you to a point you need to be anointed. What is anointed? That means you need to have the experience, very, very substantiate, very, very real, and very, very outstanding. You must have some experience that stand out. You know, I have something from the Lord. Do you get my point or not? Here, I would say, is more of God. God is the chosen. Here is God and the man work together. You know, with David, it's not the case. It's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in our experience, there is a difference between anointed and chosen. To be chosen is something we say in eternity past. To be anointed means one day God and you mutually made an effort to substantiate a spiritual reality. Amen. Do you understand what I'm talking about? For instance, I got saved this time in 1953, January 1st, 9:30, about that time. Isn't that good? P.M. Don't you like it? I'm always very happy about it. Don't you? I got saved. Now it's what? 52 years, right? I still love the Lord. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Isn't that good? And I'm still serving the Lord. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Okay. Then after that, I come and go. I was revived. That is 1954, September. At about around 25, because that was a day, Taiwan Independence Day. I remember it's that time I began to come back to the meeting, and I become revived. And I become a person, as I told you, like I read the Bible, right? I preach the gospel. I do many spiritual things. I become very zealous. I become even known in the school. The school know there is such a Jesus crazy people. You know, we were so crazy. In the 10-minute break, we would run from high school department to junior high department, because this junior high, you can take advantage of them. And you step right to the podium and begin to praise them. "You need to believe in Jesus." And they don't know it's a teacher or school send them or whatever. So everybody's like, so we praise the gospel, right? Then after 5 minutes, we know time is up. I say, "That's it. You need to believe in Jesus." We run back to our classroom and sit there and listen. Don't you like that?
Yeah.
Don't you like that? Which is a burden. We are just a burden. Do you get my point? You know, brother, many, many days, the school started at 8 o'clock or 8:10. School started. 7:30, 7:45, we will be at the gate. Everyone has over thousands of gospel tracks. We pass out one by one. Everyone who gets into school, we pass it to them. They sweat on the floor, on the ground, we don't care, still passing. Then about 5 minutes, we know we have to go to school, we pick up everything. So, you know, even the teacher were there guarding the gate, never said a word because they know we behave. Teacher's here, we are here. You know, at that time in China, in Taiwan, that is quite something because you think teacher's very high, not as here. Hi, Tom. You know, we just preach gospel. Then in the evening, you know, right after we lower the flag, we run quickly to the exit. There are two doors, one in the front, one in the back. Again, we have hundreds of tracks pass out at the gate. So eventually, just about the whole school know there's a young man like this, crazy. But it's good, right? But that is not enough. Until I think it's around 1955 sometime, I have a real drive. Let's say 53, 55 sometime. That's it. Now will be 50 years. Real drive. I must totally give myself to the Lord. Amen. Oh, that was a real experience. I first fellowship with elders. I say, brothers, I have a desire that my life will be for nothing but for Christ alone. And I'm thankful their elders are really good. They're not old Eli's. So they look at me, they fellowship with me. Eventually, they say, that's very good. We will receive you on behalf of the church. So one Saturday night, there's a gathering. In the gathering, they asked me stood up, give a testimony, how I want to live only for Christ and Christ alone. You know, brother, then I read the letter. That letter should be able to, still can be found. A declaration. Still should be found in the church in Taipei service office. They should keep this kind of thing. These are government, a document. You know, I said, I, Titus Chu, was touched by the Lord. I forgot what did I write. Basics like that. Was touched by the Lord. I'm realizing the love of the Lord constrained me. From now on, I will live for nothing else but for Christ alone.
Amen.
Oh, I wrote a letter. I gave a testimony. I wrote a letter. Then I kneeled down. Four elders, I believe. That Zhang Yilan, you know, the one who write, Is There a God? He wrote three books. Brother Zhang Yilan. And Brother Zheng Guangming. And another one or two elders. Three to four, I believe four elders. I kneel down. The four elders lay hand on me. The first time that I understand what does Psalm 133 says. Like ointment come down from the head, right? Even what? Aaron's head to his beard, right? I just feel the spirit coming down from the head when the brother says, now we lay hand on this young brother. I just feel, I begin to weep. To weep, right? W-E-P. I begin to cry. I cry so hard. I can't stand up. I just feel the spirit fill my person. Fill my person. So eventually, the elders prayed over. They all prayed one by one. I can't get up. So they have to lift me up, walk me to my seat. I was weeping. At least for 24 hours, cried all the time. I was so touched. At that time, I understand the verse, the love of God constrained me.
Amen.
Now the love of God, you just feel, Lord, it's so lovely. You are so good. You are so precious. I don't want to promote anything. Brother, but I'll tell you this, that one experience you all must have. Not necessarily a consecration publicly, but there got to be once you kneel down before the Lord, you spend time before the Lord, you touch the Lord's presence, you consecrate yourself to the Lord, you spend a long time to confess your sins, long time to evaluate your life before the Lord, then declare unto the Lord, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. Let the Spirit fill you.
Amen.
You become a different person.
Amen.
brother, after that day, I become a different person. I become bold. I become aggressive. I began to be able to speak for the Lord. I began to declare something spiritually before God and before man. Brother, why? Because the anointing experience happened to us. There is anointing with us. But remember, when with David, it was Samuel, who is a priest and the prophet and the judge, a king, who poured the oil unto him through a horn. In other words, declaring, David, you will be a fighter. Your life will be a fighting life. So eventually, remember how God told him, he said, Lord, I want to build a temple. And God says, you can't, because you are a fighter. You are a warrior. Your life was designed to be a warrior, not a builder. So you fight. You know, brother, we need these experiences. We need to touch the Lord. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to touch you once. I want to meet your presence once. I want to be saturated by yourself once. I want your spirit fill me once. Lord, I don't want just to be sensational having your presence. I want you to be my reality. Amen. You know, brother, that is really some experience. That very experience controls my life. I know what is like the oil coming down, really coming down from the head, then coming down all the way through your body to your foot. All the way, you see the Spirit coming down, and you are there filled with the love. You are so satisfied. At that moment, I can declare, I must be the happiest person, most satisfied person on the globe, because God and I are totally one at that moment.
Amen.
Then, of course, take me 50 years to apply that experience. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not one deal. With that beginning, you begin to live a life. Lord, I like to be with you. So remember, he was anointed. Anointed by Samuel and the Spirit coming to him. I encourage you, brother, spend 1 hour, spend 2 hours before the Lord. Let no one interfere you. Your Lord remind you anything as a sin, as a trespass, as a shortcoming, confess it. No shame about it. No need. Then tell the Lord, Lord, I need you to fill me.
Amen.
I need your spirit. I need your spirit to saturate my person.
Amen.
So I can be a person anointed. Then eventually, with no word of encouragement or commandment, as it was with Saul. Right? Remember, Samuel did tell Saul something. But then, the point D, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. Then tested. Brother, it was good. I always appreciate being tested. You know, brother, right after my consecration, test comes. Test comes, it's very precious. Many, many things doesn't even make sense. Sister, I tell you, I was a senior, ready to go to college. So I was praying, Lord, give me a college. One day I take a bike, pass by Normal University. At that time called Normal College. I say, Lord, I don't think I can get into Taiwan University. You see, I was wrong, right? Eventually I graduated from Taiwan University. I say, Lord, I don't think I get into Taiwan University. This university is good enough for me. Please send me into Normal University. Isn't that logical? Because I'm from a very good high school. And I got accepted. Boy Scout department. Major in Boy Scout. 2 years, no degree. 2 years. I got it. I tell the Lord, Lord, I made a mistake. I forget to tell you what major I should be in. And I can tell the Lord, Lord, why don't you care for me? Lord will say, you prayed. I answered. You didn't make clear, don't blame about me. You should make it clear. Do you get my point or not? Test it. You have to learn, be before the Lord. Then, second time. You know, sister, something interesting. I was rejected. I was not accepted. Then I got my score. I said, well, this score, I'm higher. My score is higher than the lowest accepted score. You know what I mean? So I went to the university, sponsored this. I said, well, sir, I think I should be accepted by one of the university. Look, this is my score. He says, oh, you were corrected. You changed it. I can't believe, you know, how bureaucratic, even in the education department. You change it. So I told my father, I said, well, father, it doesn't work. So my father put his general's arm uniform and go there and say, I demand you, get it out immediately. So they get out immediately. Oh, yeah, they have a record, you see. Oh, yeah, the record, yeah, he. They missed my name. Hi, Lord Jesus. Why you have to miss my name? Right? There's tens of thousands of people pass the test. How many names will be missed? Possibly only one, and I'm the one. So I have to tell the Lord, Lord, I worship you. Look, none of them are qualified to get their name missed. And I got it. Hallelujah. Third year, now it's getting serious. Because I get to the test with my brother at the same time. He's 5 years younger than I. So one brother said, Titus, I'll find the result for you 1 day ahead at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So 3 or 4 o'clock. So our whole family was waiting for the phone, beside the phone, and at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, the brother called. I says, hey, Brother Chu. I say, yes, here I am. Congratulations to your brothers. I said, oh, I said, what university? Taiwan University. What department? What department? I said, how about me? He said, you? He said, 1 point short. 3 point is the lowest. I'm 299. Do you get it? I hold the phone. At that moment, I made a declaration. If there's no God, anyone can say there's no God. He must be most stupid. Only God can do things like this. So I turn back, I tell my father and my mother. My father was working. Congratulations to my brother. He got into Taiwan University. My mother says, how about you? I say, well, sorry, I'm 1 point short. My mother's face dropped. I wish you were the one passed and not your brother. You understand, right? One's too old and one's too young. Well, I don't know. I couldn't tell you the peculiar part. Huh? The whole family is not happy because I didn't pass. Even my brother dare not smile because I didn't pass. I'm the only one singing songs. Hallelujah. Praise God. My mother, how can you still sing songs? I say, wow, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. Brother, I can easily be discouraged. Do you get my point or not? Later, I look back. I'm surprised. As a high school graduate, I had the opportunity to get into officers' language school to learn only English. And I have an opportunity to work with Americans as interpreter for 1 year before I get into college. Could you believe in that either? I tell you honestly, the way I read the Bible, possibly you know that I'm not a good student. In other words, I don't go the way usually people do. Okay, I don't memorize vocabulary. I hate study. And I hate grammar, I hate subjunctive mood. Well, if it's there, it's there. Talk about it, don't make it subjunctive. You know, I hate all this. But after I graduate from college, I end up in English department. And even that, I wasn't a good student. I don't go to class because I feel no value. So when we study Shakespeare, I got a Chinese copy and read it and go to the test. That's it. Well, I came to this country. I began to serve the Lord. Then I realized the Lord is here. The Lord has prepared me in English. for me to serve him in the United States. And I have no idea about it. The Lord says, you pray for Norman University? Stupid. You pray for what? Stupid. I will send you right in the midst of Americans for you to learn whether you like it or not, because you got paid to learn. Your salary, you know what I mean? And I was my father's interpreter. That was also very romantic. Do you get my point? So all the Americans see my father, hi, General, and I'm interpreting. This is how good that is. Well, marvelous. I tell you, brother, love the Lord and be ready to be tested. Don't get discouraged. There's nothing worthwhile to be discouraged, because your Lord is more than real.
Amen.
Isn't that true? So now let's come to this test. Huh? Number one, as anointed one, he became the armor bearer of another anointed one. Do you get my point or not? So is anointed. And he was anointed too. And he was very clear. He was anointed to replace Saul. Yet he became his armor bearer. Number one. Number two. As anointed one, he became a harp player to chase away the evil spirit for the other anointed one, rather than let him be. Do you get my point or not? If Saul got me to play harps, I'll just don't mess it up. So no demon listen to it. Then Saul will be more possessed by demon. Then I'll be more opportunity to come up. Do you get my point or not? I can't believe it. Why he do this? Anyone with a clear mind would tell Saul, Saul, no. My playing of harp is not good enough. If I can chase out demon, they all coincidence. Next time it doesn't work. So don't rely on me and get somebody else. And watch Saul become mad eventually. Do you get my point? It's surprising, huh? He was tested. As anointed one, he became a harp player. He played for Saul. Chase away the demon of Saul. And rather than, well, whatever happened, let it happen. Then he understood that everything was according to God's sovereignty and time. You understand what I say? Everything. You know, brother, among our brothers, my physical brothers, 6 graduate from Taiwan University. So that's a proud, that's actually could be a record in Taiwan. Then they always say, oh, this family is great. 6 Taiwan University graduates. I never dare to lift up my head. I always answer, but I got him from the side door. Don't you know that? In other words, I was a transfer student. You know, once I go through mathematics, then no more 1 by 1 equals what, I'm fine. Then thirdly, Lord has his time. Do you understand what I say? Everything happened. Justin, you know why you got so unhappy? There was a short time. You know why Joshua, Zhao disappeared? And oh, he's by you now. And do you know why that Jiang was? Because now if you realize, God has his time. God can afford to give you, brother, a proper operation right after the laboring. Then your brother will be so high every day you run them on top of the elders and tell elders what to do. God give us a little time. Put us into a little trial. And give us a little difficulty. And that difficulty causes us to be very bothered. Lord Jesus, I'm so burdened. Lord, I have so much. Lord. And David says, well, let me tell you. I play harps to chase away demons. But at the same time, I play harps to enjoy myself, because time has not yet come. Boom, 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 boom. Do you understand? You can be so restful before the Lord. Just say, Lord, I know everything is in your hand. Then finally, approved among Israelites by killing Goliath. He went to the field. You know, Goliath came and fight, right? He went to the field according to his father's command. His father's bring some gift, even when he was not qualified to fight. Really, he shouldn't. He wasn't qualified to fight, but his father says, take something, and so he take it because his brother were there. He was firm that the uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, should not defy the armies of the living God. He got there. He found it interesting. There are two giants. One in Israelites. One is with Ammonites or Philistines. Philistines. The Israelite giants chickened out, hiding himself in the commander's tent, and was just considering what to do, how to save himself, how to save the army, how to save the country. He's a chicken. And the other giants was there, rebuking, mocking at the soldiers. Of course, one thing I don't understand, you know, they must have a lot of arrow men. You know what an arrow man? So I mean, archer. So you just get about 50 archer ready, hidden there. Got him. It's over, right? I don't know why they don't do it. So sometimes in the Bible there are mysteries. This is one of the mysteries. I mean, one day we see Saul. Saul has something eventually you have to appreciate. We'll talk about it later. You know, eventually one day we see Saul, or even when we see David or David's brother, we should ask him, you know, where are your archers? How do you call that? Archer. Where are your archers? I mean, that guy is more than stupid. Expose himself to everybody. And you know, there should be one arrow shoot right into his mouth. Isn't that romantic? But nothing happened. And all these soldiers were chickened out, and the Saul was chickened out. So what? Only he got very bothered. Bothered by what? How come you, the uncircumcised, a dog, how can you defy the armies of the living God? Amen. We're not Israelites. We are the armies of the living God.
Amen.
You get my point or not? We are not just Israel people. We are related to the living God.
Amen.
How can you defy us? Amen. He got very bothered. Then thirdly, he realized that as anointed one, he should stand for the testimony of the Lord and testify. What? Is there not a cause? His brother asked him, right? Why are you coming here? You little kids. I think, you know, when Samuel anointed him, all the seven was already very unhappy. Especially the biggest brother, because biggest brother's, you know, strong. It's like Josh. Where's Josh now? Yeah, like him, big and strong. Yeah, I think they already get very happy with this young boy. Now this young boy came and began to ask all kind of questions, you know, why nobody go up, why you don't go up, why you let them defy you, and then this funny talk, you know, whosoever got him killed, Saul says he's a chicken, but his daughter's beautiful, so you can marry his daughter. You know, it's interesting. You just consider the scenery. That was something, in a way, very, very unpleasant. And he was right there shouting, and here crowds of Israelites, none of them dare to go out, right? And so his brother says, what are you here? You come here, you want to see the war, right? Because fighting sometimes can be attractive. You want to see the war, right? I know why you're here. Then he answered, is there not a cause? You think I come here for fun? I know I come here with a reason. God has sent me here.
Amen.
He has a real inner realization. You know, there are two churches raised up, right? Or at least going to be there shortly. You know, sometimes you're very concerned. How many are coming? How many? Why more, not more coming? Why all the graduates chickened out? Brother, chicken out is normal. To fight is the Lord's grace. So, but if Lord has told you, you should tell yourself, is there not a cause that we are here? We are here for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is there not a cause? Then, his past experience in the victories over a lion and a bear caused him to realize that the Lord would deliver him out of hand Goliath. He said this, right? He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw, is the word pronounced paw? Paw of the lion, or the paw of bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of Philistine. I know. In the past, how the Lord was my protection. Today, the Lord will be my protection.
Amen.
One day I got a letter with many signatures, just about threatened me to death. You know, the interesting part, I was very peaceful. I was very peaceful. And this letter didn't scare me. Why? Lord Jesus, cover what I say. In these many years, I know the Lord. I don't have to be afraid. You know, brother, praise the Lord for this. He here testified. In years fighting experience, he said, I know the Lord will be with me. So he fought. According to who he was and what he was used to. This is the secret of fighting. You never borrow my message. Do you get my point or not? You never tell people, listen, I know Titus, he preaches very well. He said this, let me repeat it to you. Brother, there's nothing wrong repeating it. But remember, when you fight the real war and not entertaining one another, if you want to entertain one another, whatever you do is right. If you want to fight the real war, it got to be something from you. You understand what I'm talking about? Next point, right? Someone's armor, no matter how good it is, can never fit a God-chosen person in fight. Do you get my point or not? See, Saul says, put on my armor. That must be the king's armor, you know. But that must be the best. But think about how tall is Saul, how small is him. Even the right size, even they two are equal size, it's not convenient. You are not used to that kind of armor. It doesn't work. It's good for protecting you, but it's not good in attacking the enemy. You know, when David went out, has no protecting. He just went out. Either he got killed or I will be killed. No, nothing to protect himself. I go to win the victory. You know, brother, follow the Lord need this attitude. Every day you are before the Lord. So when the fighting time comes, you know how to fight. You don't borrow others' armor. Then when the fighting time comes, you fight with a realization. I don't care if I will be successful, but I care the Lord's desire should be accomplished.
Amen.
Do you understand? So how good that is. So all the armor he got, it doesn't work. And he said, I get used to this. You know, I get used to what I have. Now, you know, the Philistines were laugh at him, right? Are you treating me as a dog or something? This kind of stuff only good to hitting a dog, which is true. As I told you, right? When he was shepherding, at that time there got to be a lot of wild dog called wild dog called hyena, right? Isn't hyena a wild dog? The Bible has a lot of wild dog. Remember, eventually later it says, you know, hyena, even your city will be, empty, will be become ruined, and hyena will be fill your city. In the prophets, feel this kind of talk.
Jackals.
What is jackal? Hyena, or wild dog. In other words, when he was shepherding, there must be a lot of hyena, and the hyena come by groups. Hyena doesn't go by one. Once they come, many come. Very rough. So usually before they approach you, way back, you scare them away. This might be his practice all the time. So the guy said the right thing. Are you treating me as a dog? And David said, that's right. I'm hitting wild dog with this all the time. Here come, boom, that's it. He really hit the dog. So he killed, to get it or not. So he killed Goliath and won the approvedness among Israelites. Now he's in trouble. He's in trouble. You know why? The sister get excited. Please, I better be careful. After this morning, I have to apologize to you, sister. I don't mean despise you or not. I really love sisters. I know that. I repeat to you. A good sister is a good future. A good brother guarantee nothing. Oh, don't think I'm joking. So a marriage is so crucial. You know, one day Brother Lee asked me, Titus, do you have a sister? I think she has a sister in mind. I even can somewhat figure out who is that sister. I said, oh yeah, I know a sister. She loves the Lord so much. She's such a good sister. That's my wife. At that time, we're not married. She was in Taiwan. You know, the response scared me. After Brother Lee said that, he sat on the chair. He put his arm on the chair, on the arms. He must have few minutes totally by himself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That is, I realized, wow, marriage is really serious. You know, we young people don't know. We just, oh, we love each other. Why don't we come together? The most we fight, the most we divorce. No, you don't. You don't divorce. You can fight. Brother, I say this to your sisters. A good sister will decide the family's future. A very good brother, if the sister is not for the Lord, it's very hard for him to go on. So I see you, Jose, when I see you marry that sister, I couldn't tell you how happy I am. Because your wife's really a good sister. You know, brother, of course, every full-timer's wife is good. Otherwise, how can he be full-timer? Just think about it. All what I have to say is I protest. If you still want to be full-time, I'm going back to my father's house. If you still want to be full-time, how about let's divorce? Then even the elder would have to tell the brother, brother, you better wait because your wife's not ready. Now you understand what I say? Now the sister get excited. The woman answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousand. In other words, his portion is thousand. And David, his portion is 10,000. Well, if they would be quiet, how good that would be. They go, and they play the tambourine and they play the harps. Down, 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 down. And Saul look at it. Then Saul tell David, are you ready? You understand what I say? Saul look at David, maybe not tell him, but in the heart, are you ready? From now on, you will not have one peaceful day as long as I live. So, brother, don't enjoy a good message like this morning, this evening. This brother all did so well. Brother, don't think did so well. That's it. Right after that, you are on the spot. Do you remember that? Eventually, when those says, Paul kills thousand, what? Saul kills has slain, right? Saul has slain his thousand. That means that's his portion, his thousand. And David, his 10,000. Let me ask you, eventually who followed David? Not one followed David. So when you have a good conference, people say, oh, I better not say too much. Because it discourages you, not me. Not you. You are not included. You are not one of the thousand, 10,000. But brother, eventually who followed David? Do you get my point? Tomorrow will come. Who followed David? All those who are debtors cannot pay their debts. All those who are depressed need a psychiatrist. They all come to David. And David has a way to train and makes a mighty man. It's hard to believe. And David became a captain of 400 people. And he wrote some beautiful psalms. Well, then the last thing. Can we read G together? This very approvedness brought his life under persecution for around 14 years until he began to reign in Hebrew at the age of 30. I would say it's not 14, maybe 10 years. 14 years was starting from the time of anointed. Someone says 7 years, but not one of these is that accurate. So I'll say maybe around 10 years. Around 10 year time, you know, he ran away from Saul. That could be 7 years. But even where he was with Saul, remember how Saul tried to kill him? And Saul made him a captain. Saul did everything maneuvering to get him. Saul even used his daughter as a bait. You know, marry my daughter, but go kill 200 Philistines. He has to go by himself to kill 200 Philistines to marry, how to pronounce that word? Mika, whatever. Well, do you like this message?
Amen.
Should you tell the Lord, Lord, I need your mercy.
Amen.
I like to be the person.
Amen.
Fulfill your choosing.
Amen.
You have already chosen us.
Amen.
Now, anoint us.
Amen.
Now, test us.
Amen.
Now, train us.
Amen.
Now, approve us.
Amen.
Can we have one brother pray, close the meeting?